Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. People in two states and around the country are anxiously awaiting a decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. The decision involves congressional district maps drawn in Wisconsin and Maryland, which critics say are overly partisan, favoring Republicans in Wisconsin and Democrats in Maryland.
With a decision of some kind expected by the end of the month, WUWM's Mayon Silver asked political analyst Barry Burden for a refresher course on the issues at stake. Burden is a professor of political science at UW-Madison, and he says even if the court throws out the district maps in the two states, it's unlikely to have a direct impact on this fall's elections.
We're now at a point where it's too late, really, to make changes to this year's elections. In Wisconsin in particular, the candidates have already filed to run for office, and those signatures have been approved by the State Elections Commission. So the earliest the new districts could take effect, if there are any, would be 2020.
So if the court finds it unconstitutional, these redistricting, do you think the Supreme Court would give guidance on redrawing the maps?
It's a really great question what the court would ask the state to do as a remedy if they decide that the map is unacceptable. And I think there are a few different paths that we might end up going down. One is that the Supreme Court might tell the state legislature, do it over. You didn't produce acceptable maps the first time, and so now we've set a standard, and you need to make new maps that fit that standard. Another approach would be to essentially hire someone to work on behalf of the court and operate as a master to draw the maps and get those maybe approved by the state legislature, but certainly submitted back to the court. It might also send the case back down to the Wisconsin District Court in the Western District here, the federal court, and ask them to draw new maps. So I think there are at least three and probably more remedies that might be put in place, and we really have no idea at this point what the Supreme Court will ask to happen.
What would the criteria be to make it nonpartisan? You know, what would those guidelines entail? Any idea?
Yeah, so the issue in the case is about partisanship in the full statewide assembly map. And so the Supreme Court would need to set a standard for when a map becomes excessively partisan to the point where it's not constitutional. And there was one standard offered in the case by the plaintiffs coming out of Wisconsin. It's a measure known as the efficiency gap. The efficiency gap is a formula that gives a number as to how extreme a map is in favoring one party or the other. And so it might be that the court would say a certain value on that efficiency gap scale is the point at which the map becomes unacceptable, and the state legislature or whomever would need to draw a new map that is under that threshold. So that's one way they might go about it.
Did they have a suggestion in the Maryland case?
In the Maryland case, there are somewhat different issues at play. The efficiency gap was not being offered as the main standard that might be used. And that's because the Maryland case was not about the entire statewide map, but really about one district. And the efficiency gap is a formula that applies statewide.
Mm.
So that makes it somewhat challenging to put the two cases together because the legal arguments are a little different in each case. And then the kind of numeric bright lines that they might use to decide what's acceptable and what's not would probably be different.
What is the simpleton's version of what the issue? What are the two different issues in the two different cases or theories?
So they're complementary in some ways and hard to reconcile in others. What's complementary is that in Wisconsin it was Republicans drawing the maps trying to harm Democrats. In Maryland it was Democrats drawing the maps trying to harm Republicans. Also in Wisconsin it was a state issue in the state legislature, and in Maryland it's dealing with a congressional district. So they're nicely paired in that way that they cover a range of different issues and might be pulled together into one case or one set of opinions. But the legal theories that were offered in the cases and the evidence, those are quite different between the two states. In Wisconsin, it's an argument about the whole map, all 99 assembly districts, and the argument is essentially that Democrats' rights have been violated under the 14th Amendment and the First Amendment by Republicans who drew the maps, and that you can measure the infringement of those rights with the efficiency gap or other measures like it, and that better maps could be drawn. The Maryland case is a little different because it's one district where the Democrats tried to squeeze out a Republican office holder and turn that district into a blue district, and they succeeded at that. The argument there is really about the First Amendment rights of Republicans living in that district. And the plaintiffs allege that Democrats went after them because of their political beliefs, because they were Republican-leaning voters. And so that violated First Amendment rights. So even reconciling the theories, let alone the measures or other standards that might be used, is going to be tricky for the justices.
So why do you think, why do you suppose they decided to fuse those two cases?
Well, they were both on the docket this year. As I mentioned, they do have some nice complementarities. The Chief Justice in particular was worried about having one case that would look like it was favoring one political party and hurting the other political party, that it might tarnish views of the Supreme Court and cause people to think it was a partisan body when they really don't want to be. So having two cases together that involve different parties taking advantage might be helpful. Having both the state and the congressional maps dealt with in one set of opinions also could be very helpful for just clearing that confusion about where it applies. I think also there was not consensus on the court about what to do once they heard the Wisconsin case back in October. And so maybe bringing the Maryland case in was viewed as a way to clarify things for the justices that would put all the issues on the table. But in fact, it looks like from the argument in that case that it actually muddled their thinking about it somewhat. There is, by the way, a third case out of North Carolina sitting off to the side that they've not heard yet and could bring into the mix if this gets dragged out much further.
And when you say if it gets dragged out much further, what do you mean, that they wouldn't come out with a decision? Or?
Yes, it's one possibility is that they will issue no opinions this month after all, and they will instead have a re-arguing of the cases in the fall, and they might merge the Wisconsin and Maryland cases, bring in the North Carolina case, hear them all at once, have a really robust discussion among the justices about all of them simultaneously rather than one at a time, and try to really set a new precedent for districts going forward based on those three very different kinds of cases.
Do you think that's likely, or is that what you're expecting?
It's hard to know what to expect at this point. These cases have dragged on for so long, and they're so different from one another, and the court is divided. You know, we might get lots of opinions coming out rather than one decisive one, or there might be just a majority of five against a minority of four. But setting the cases for re-argument in the fall, I think, is a real possibility.
Do you think that what do you think the impact of the case would be if they find the redistricting unconstitutional?
It would be pretty consequential. In Wisconsin, it would mean that the assembly districts need to be redrawn in a way that meets whatever standard the court has set. And it probably also means that districts in other states would need to be redrawn. If they adopted the efficiency gap argument and threshold that the plaintiffs suggested in the case, it's something like a third of state legislatures would need to have their maps redrawn, presumably before the 2020 elections. And if the Maryland case is brought in as well, there may be new standards for congressional maps. And so some of those districts may need to be redrawn as well. So I think it could be a very meaningful set of decisions.
And what if they find that it's constitutional?
If they decide that the maps can stand in both Wisconsin and Maryland, then I think that opens the door to about as much partisanship as is imaginable. The dominant party in each state will be able to take full advantage of the map drawing process, knowing that there are essentially no limits. If the court has told them that in these cases, they can go as far as they want and not be worried about crossing a constitutional line.
All right. Well, Barry Burden, thank you so much for doing the interview.
Yeah, you bet. Glad I could help.
Barry Burden is a professor of political science, director of the Elections Research Center, and the Lyons Family Chair in Electoral Politics at UW-Madison. He spoke with Mayon Silver.